Hey, what's going on, my friends? It's Dave Sharp. Welcome to Wake Up Legendary. And yep, that's right, my friends. You've done it again. This morning, we have yet another amazing guest, one of our customers here, Jen. She was is a real estate agent who made a significant change to her content to finally reach her audience. She's really had some explosive growth, and we are here to learn all about how she's grown her channels, how she has grown her audience, how she has tapped into more success, more conversions, and all the good, bad, and the ugly. With that being said, welcome to the show, Jen.
Hi, Dave. Good morning.
There's really no ugly. makes it sound more dramatic.
Oh boy. Yeah, no, it's been a great ride. Yeah, I really, it's been wonderful.
Well, good. Well, good. Tell us where you're calling in from, first of all.
I'm calling in from Seattle, Washington. Okay. Opposite side from you, I guess, well, right?
Hello from Florida. not so sunny Florida. It actually kind of looks like Seattle outside right now.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, that's, we try to tell people that it's rains here a lot, right, in Seattle, because we don't want anybody to move here because our summers are absolutely gorgeous.
So. Yeah, no, I know. I've spent some time in Snoqualmie quite a bit, and then ventured up into the San Juan Islands. Ever been there?
Beautiful. Yep.
Yes, yes. It's a very beautiful area up there. For those of you who are looking for a place to venture, look up San Juan Islands. You could check out Seattle and then bounce right up there and see something that you've never seen before, likely, at least for me anyways. One of those things was orca whales and salmon fishing. Yep. So with that being said, we could probably go on a traveling a city and an adventure conversation here. But let's talk a little bit about your marketing. What led you to this in the first place? I mean, what motivated you to want to come online and start an online marketing business?
Yeah. I mean, like, to be honest, like, I never wanted to be an entrepreneur, right? I mean, like, to start a business, you need a lot of money, right? Like, in my head, you need a lot of money. You need this real innovative product. You need a big team. You need all these, you know, investors to start up this business, right? And so I just, it was never a part of my life plan, right? When I started creating content, I started thinking about like how did I get here? And I started thinking about it, and it really went back to 2019 when I was working in hotels and hospitality at the time. Had a great career. I was working a lot. I was always the person getting the promotion, getting the incentive trips. I had healthcare. I had, you know, for my whole family, I had everything, right? And in the fall of 2019, my dad, who was 77 at the time, fell and broke his elbow. And he had some complications with it, had surgery. And the long of the short of it is that he found himself in the intensive care unit, and all while I was still, you know, working. So I found myself in the hospital with him while he's on life support and I'm working, right? And I think it was kind of this, I came home one day, you know, and at the time I had two kids. One was three, one was had just turned one, and it was awful. Like, my dad is dying in the hospital and I'm working. I'm taking calls, I'm answering emails. And I just had this kind of moment where I was like, what am I doing? I cannot live like this. I cannot have a career. I cannot have a job where I don't have the opportunity to drop everything and take care of not only myself, my family, but my parents that are aging now. And I just said, I'm done. And I put in my notice and I quit. October 31st was 2019 was the day that I quit my career in that I had built for so long. And 6 days later, my dad died. And that at that moment, sorry, grief is funny. It just like, it's such a weird waves, but and at that moment I said, I'm never going to have a career like this where I can't, you know, be my own boss, do what I want to do, take time off when I want to take time off. And that's when I kind of, that's when, of course, a few months later, COVID hit. It was sort of a blessing. I think for a lot of people, it really gave you an opportunity to change and pivot and, you know, really assess your priorities. And so, you know, I did a few kind of remote jobs from home, just some stuff so I could be home with the kids. And then I sort of led me to a path into real estate, which was great. I had the flexibility. I was my own boss. What I put into it is what I was getting out of it. You know, and then 2021, everything, you know, real estate market is booming. Everything's great. I'm making all this money. Like, you know, it's great. Right. You know, I don't know if you follow real estate, but like, there's basically two things that you need in order to buy a house. Right. And I'm in residential real estate. You need in the Seattle market, you need $1 million cash or you need a mortgage. Right. And for me, like, basically it came down to 2022. There's like, you know, half of my, you know, with the interest rates, half of the people buying houses are not buying houses anymore. And they're not selling their houses anymore because they're locked in this 3% interest rate. And it's like, nobody's going anywhere. So I got to a point where like, man, how am I going to produce some leads? Like, how am I going to get people? How am I going to get people so I can sell these houses or I can help them or whatever? And that's when I started to go online and I said, okay, you know, I know people are going on social media. I know I have a lot of friends in the real estate industry that are using social media to generate leads for their business. And they're using, you know, social media and online marketing and people have their own websites and all this, that, and the other. And so I started going and then I think, so then it kind of morphed into like, okay, social media marketing, online marketing. Okay, now what's this digital marketing? And then, and that's where I came across the challenge. And I was like, what is this? Like, how do I not know anything about this? Like digital marketing. And then I started kind of, then you start going down a rabbit hole in a social media rabbit hole of like online marketing, digital marketing, affiliate marketing. Anyhow, so I took the challenge. And I was just blown away. Like, I had no clue that this is how it worked. Like, with, you know, lead magnet and funnel building and automations and email marketing. And like how have I been a successful corporate career person, a successful real estate agent, and I knew nothing about this? Like, this is just, like, wild to me. So, I mean, long story short, I was all in. And so what really started as a way for me to generate business for my own real estate profile and to build a brand with real estate, it really just kind of, I had to, take this, you know, opportunity to educate other people, because if I didn't know about it, I'm sure as hell that like, there's a lot of other people that don't know about it. And I just think it's a great way for anybody to, if you have an existing business, to enhance it in the digital space, but then also to start something new and create a job or a career around something that you think is really cool, whether it's, you know, any niche, travel or health or relationships or, all the niches that you hear about. So, then I was all in and here we are.
Yeah, no, I love it. Well, my condolences. I had a scare with my father last year, so I know exactly what that's like being in the ICU. He was there for 60 days. 88 days total in the hospital. I didn't lose him, but very close. And I also wonder the same thing. How are people doing it out here with just all of these traditional business and marketing strategies? No leverage, business cards, emailing and phone calling and texting one by one, networking meetings, and just look, they work. There's no doubt they work. I mean, they wouldn't have been in existence if they didn't. But like you say, sometimes you find yourself with your phone attached to your ear 24/7, or having to drive everywhere and go everywhere to do things, to be away from your house, handing out business cards. You know, I've seen, you know, having your leads list in your hand, your notebook, you know. Nowadays we have phones, but I know a lot of people who still work out of their notebooks. And so what was it like for you to kind of go through the training before we get into kind of your, because you made a significant change to your content, and I want to get to that here in a moment, where you basically kind of exploded your content. And I know that's going to be valuable for everybody and valuable for me to hear. But before we get to that, kind of what was it like just as you were, because part of that, I think you really cracking the code for your own content was you had to implement, you had to try, you had to put this education into action. You were never going to figure out what you figured out until you launched. What was it like, the learning process? You know, we just launched this new challenge, the Learn Launch Lead Challenge, where that's kind of the process. You learn this stuff, you launch, and then you become a leader. It's like but you have to launch first. So what was your learning phase like? Was that, you know, if you could take us back and kind of just describe that for us, like what was that like? What do you remember from it? What helped you get through it to actually stick through it and learn the content and the strategies that you needed?
Yeah, I mean, I think the learning phase, the technology portion of it was relatively easy for me. The funnel building, the writing of the emails. I think the learning phase was probably the social media, having so many, just so many ideas on how I can create an audience. I don't think that I ever really struggled with my content, because for me, I was of the mindset that I cannot compare myself to anybody else. And I think that's a huge message for a lot of people, is like, you see people in this space that are being very successful, and you want that, right? Whether it's the likes, the views, the comments, the follows. And that's, it will paralyze you. Mm. And I think that I tried to block out as much noise as possible and really create an environment where I was building a community that I was helping. And it took a while, and it was about 6 months. I think I learned through, the original business builder challenge, and then I learned like more of the in-depth click and strategies through the blueprints, and I think that's really what allowed me to, you know, I fumbled on YouTube University and Google for a while before I finally took the jump. But I think that the way that your education has everything very easily laid out, I think the learning process for me was not hard. As long as you follow your team, and you have so much, all the support calls, all the hot seat calls. I mean, it's like the extra support that you get in the community that you've built is really how I learned. And I would sit on those calls, and I would actually, you know, I didn't have a lot of time. So I would do it at night, but then I would also listen to the calls. And it's actually interesting hearing you talk, because most of what I, when I listen to you and when I listen to, you know, Ryan and Drew, like on their calls, I listen it at like two times, like the speed. So everybody's talking really fast, so I can just get the information, because I, you know, I just, I wanted to learn it so quickly. But I think the learning phase wasn't hard for me. And I think, you have to do what works for you and like put in the time that works for you, and you can't rush your launch. And I think that's what a lot of people do. You come out with all these like crazy and wonderful ideas that you just like, you want to get started, and you want, and that's where the frustration will lie, where, because you're launching before you're learning. And it's okay. You don't like, you can't compare yourself. You just have to, you have to take time, because it's new. Some of the technology is going to be new. Some of the social media stuff will be new for some people. So everybody's starting at a different point. And so wherever you're learning, you have to give yourself grace and, you know, accept that it's, these tools are not difficult. They're not, it's not, you know, we're not heart surgeons here, right? It is a very simple business, and simple techniques that it's okay if you don't know them. I mean, I didn't learn them in school. They don't teach this in college. I mean, that was 20 years ago. Maybe they do now. I don't know. But I mean, it's like, you don't find this going to a 4-year university.
Yeah. Well, you hit the nail on the head. You have to consume the content. You have to consume. It's sort of like, if you do want to be a heart surgeon, there is no shortcut. You know, nothing in life that you're going to become, that you're going to learn how to do. We're not at that point yet to where you're just going to have the information downloaded into your brain. And oftentimes, what I've always said is that we work really hard trying not to work. You know, we'll buy a course and then not go through it and get back onto social media and just scroll. And it's like, if the best tip I could give people, and it sort of goes right in tandem with yours, is that when you buy this training, just tune everything out and just go through it. Because if you can just retain even a portion of the content, you're going to have the foundation that you need in order to launch. And then you can go back when you get stuck. You can go back to coaching calls. You can go back to community. You can go back to curriculum. And what did I miss there? What, or I have some extra time. Let me take 10% of my time to go learn. Ah, I missed that the first time around. But at least you'll have the foundational elements to be able to launch. So talk to us about what that launch was like for you. And how have you, at what point, I think you went 6 months before you really made a real significant change in your content, which exploded it from like 500 followers to over 100,000 followers at this point. Mm-hmm. And it's a very, from what I can see, of you simplified and you basically kind of, well, stop talking in your videos is one of the major things that I see that you did. But explain that journey from launch to then where you are now, you know, in a nutshell, as best as you can, so we can kind of understand that process that you went through.
Yeah. I mean, so the launch, my launch, I mean, I had everything set up. I had a good lead magnet. I had a good funnel. I had some great emails, and the content was one thing that was, you know, from the learning perspective, that I really had to learn. I really had to figure out how am I going to launch. And so what I did is that, you know, obviously you kind of get into this consuming game on social media where you're seeing what's working for other people. And, you know, talking on camera, is not easy for me. Like it's very, for me, it was very, you know, I was doing it because I knew that I thought that that's what I had to do. I thought that that was the only way for me to be successful. And, you know, it was just, it was so forced. You know, I was downloading, what are they called? Teleprompter apps. So I could write out my script and use that to speak on camera. Because, you know, that's what you learn. You learn that you need to build a relationship with your audience. You need to, you know, in my head, that was the only way that, I was going to be able to do that is to speak on camera, create a relationship and, you know, in that way. And, the shift for me was, and I really never got into the whole side hustle, online jobs, remote jobs. Like that was never my target market. Like my target market was the people that are hardworking, that know that hard work is, will lead to results and you'll have, everything's feedback. And that anything that you do, you'll eventually find success. And so, I wasn't looking for somebody that was looking to make money online. I was looking for people that just had no clue that this type of education was out there and that you could build a business with this. So what I started to do was when I changed my content, I unfollowed a lot of people. You know, and like the gurus will tell you, this is not what you're supposed to do, but I stopped commenting on other people in my niche. I stopped liking things. I just stopped consuming and started creating and speaking to my target audience by not speaking really. Oh, there we go. I can't hear you.
That's just because I muted myself. I like to freak out my guests every once in a while. I just have been so enthralled with what you're saying. But yeah, I need to beat this hat up a little bit. Continue.
Don't lose the button. And so what I did is I really just focused on the things that I was good at. I'm good at copywriting. You know, and for anybody that, you know, it's not just your copywriting in your emails, it's your captions, it's your hooks, it's your anything that is text anywhere, really. And I just focused on what I was good at, and that's what I was good at. And I started creating content that was not going to get likes, but that was going to help people, that they wanted to save it and they wanted to share it. And I was able to do that through, just creating relatable visuals. And a lot of those visuals actually come from me just like cooking. Like I don't have between my career and my kids and, you know, I'm actually trying to, I'm climbing a mountain this summer, so I'm training for that. I'm like, I just don't have a lot of time to like make a lot of content and do a lot of on-screen stuff. And so I just had to start videotaping myself doing the things that I do. And then I would, you know, edit those. And really that's where I changed my content. And I started, you know, I feel that affiliate marketing, when you don't have your own product yet, is the best way to kind of fail forward and start being that master lead generator for a company that has wonderful products that you like, know, and trust in any niche. And then you expand your business from there and you start creating your own products. So I started creating a series of just affiliate marketing. If somebody wants to get into affiliate marketing, like here's all the different companies that you could apply for in this niche, in cooking, in travel, in pet owning, in, you know. And so I was really just trying to create an environment where people were like, wait a minute, I like traveling, or I like cooking, or I like hiking, or like I'm into, you know, organic groceries or whatever it is. And started just showing people that you can create an online business in any one of these areas that you enjoy. And less about, you know, being in this like weird education, make money online kind of like feel weird about it space. Like get into a space that you, that doesn't have that kind of feeling that, you know, that I think anybody that enters into this space kind of, you know, sort of comes with the territory, right?
Yeah. No, I love that value that you are providing people, because it's like, you know, when people think about affiliate marketing, they do think about, okay, well, what can I sell? What does that mean? What does that look like? What companies offer an affiliate program? You know, give people some practical, I mean, if that's the niche that you're in, if you're in the make money online and or affiliate marketing or just online digital marketing, you know, it's all these terms that we use. It's all the same thing. It's under the wealth niche. It's really under the make money online niche. You can call it whatever you want. But, you know, if you're talking about affiliate marketing, yeah, talk about, I love that. Show people what companies in specific niches offer affiliate programs and give them a list of 10 companies. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you even just explain, I can remember when I started talking about affiliate marketing online, I would just simply explain that Amazon had an affiliate program, Walmart had an affiliate program, and that helped people to wrap their heads around, oh, really? Okay, I didn't know that. I didn't know, and how do they have an affiliate program? What does that do for them? Mm-hmm. Well, explain that it gives them a free marketing channel. It's like a marketing arm, so they don't have to run their own advertising. You do the advertising for them, and they pay you a pre-agreed commission. So their advertising costs are never going to go above 10% or 50% or 80% or whatever. They know they've got a profit margin built in.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's brilliant for the company. It makes so much sense because they've got that pre-agreed commission. They're never going to pay 150% for the sale,
mm-hmm.
which sometimes you do in advertising. You do pay more than you make. That's a very common thing in advertising. So you have to make it up on the back end with subscriptions or upsells or cross-sells or downsells, or they sell your data. There's a million ways that companies make up for lost revenue from advertising on the front end. But affiliate marketing makes so much sense because there's a pre-agreed amount that they pay. It also makes great sense for you because you know how much you can make. You can either go out and advertise and you know exactly what your profit margins need to be, or you can create content and it's all profit. I mean, that little explanation, whether you do it in one video or over a series of five, or I mean, just I love that you did that, and you did that all through not even talking in your videos, right? Just text on screen with engaging visuals, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and I just got that. I also, you know, got rid of the noise because I was trying, you know, I was trying to do too much also. For 6 months, I'm not a huge TikTok fan. I have like 4 videos on TikTok that I don't use TikTok, right? I was on Facebook. So I was posting on Instagram and Facebook both times. And then after 6 months, I was like, I cannot do this. I need to focus on one area. I'm reposting and everybody's like, oh, you need to be on Facebook and TikTok and YouTube and da da da. And I'm like, but you don't. You just like, because for me, that was just too much. And so I just stopped posting on Facebook. I still have a community on Facebook, but it's not nearly as of an engaged community as what I found on Instagram. But I think that the other like misconception is people think that you got to be everywhere. And that's what the burnout is, right? And that's when people give up. Like, I just can't do this anymore. And then I just also go back, after that 6 months of just trial and error and just like finally making the switch to my content, I just kept thinking, I'm like, well, I'm just going to finish out the year. It's December. I'm going to do one more post. And, you know, I think I'm going to hang up the hat. And I just always go back to what you always say, like, don't quit before the magic happens. And that is like, it just kept saying, I was like, there's got to be, the magic is coming. The magic is coming. I mean, and I just like, you know, I just wasn't comparing myself to other people. I was getting more followers. I was getting more views. It was kind of a slow burn. And then it was that post where I really started educating with, you know, different affiliate marketing and just changing my content is I was like, wow. And that was the one, that was the $1 million view, reel. And since then I consistently have, you know, every couple weeks, every week, you know, 2 to 3 reels, that are reaching, a whole new audience, over 1 million.
Wow.
Yeah, it's fun. And I, you know, you still kind of compare yourself like, well, I did that last week and I did this week. But, you know, you just have to, like I said earlier, you just give yourself grace. And, you know, if it worked 1 week and it doesn't work the next week, then you just keep going.
Yeah. Incredible. I mean, so you had a video that went viral, and that sort of changed kind of a lot for you. What was that like? And how do you, how do you look at going viral now? I feel like sometimes it can be an addictive thing, and then your expectations get totally unrealistic. And so how do you manage the expectations? How do you though go for going viral? Just say more about going viral, your approach, just how it changed things for you. And do you try to recreate it? You know, just, I'd love to hear more about that.
Well, I mean, I don't think I ever, you know, in your head, you think you want to go viral, but when that happened, I wasn't ready for it. You know, like going viral, you know, people think that it's like your views, but it's also like your engagement, right? People are DMing you constantly. Like I had hundreds of thousands of DMs. I had so many comments of people wanting, you know, my free guide. So I was spending hours and hours and hours, responding to people. And it was not easy. You know, what I thought was going to be like, oh, you go viral, it's great, I'm going to get all these leads. But like, it's not just engaging with your, it's not just like putting out a post, and you still have a responsibility to your audience. Right. And so I was able to, you know, include additional automations that help my audience get what they need, you know, without having to wait for me. So I'm not plastered to my phone. But I think that, you know, yeah, there is sort of a thirst for continuing to go viral or to get more views. But really what I found is I've really been able to like create more conversations in my DMs and in my emails. I mean, so many people, I get so many DMs and emails of people are like, oh my God, I can't believe you responded to me. Oh my gosh, you have such a big account. Like, how do you have time to respond to me? Or like, and I've really enjoyed connecting with people and like really putting people in the right direction of, you know, of where they could take their business. You know, I have a lot of people where they just need the help. Right. And they just need the support. And, you know, I don't offer, you know, a mentorship group because my mentorship is still through Legendary. That's where I go. And that's where I direct people to your Facebook group, to the support channels. And, you know, that's the best place for me to direct people for mentorship. Just go back to the education. They will help you. That's what it's there for. That's what they're the expert. Like I'm, you know, I still don't feel like I'm an expert, even though I'm, you know, having all this success, but, yeah, viral is just, it's a funny word.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And, I, you know, that's also one of the keys you know, what you just pointed out when you're promoting a product, it's important to edify that product as the solution, right? Even in sales, a lot of salespeople, especially in the education space, this industry of selling information, the core four way, courses, coaching, and events. A lot of times the salesperson gets too educational, becomes too much of the mentor instead of selling the product, the educational product. That's the solution. And that's what has the answers in it. And that helps you as a salesperson. And it also helps you as a marketer to save time. You don't get too much into the weeds. You don't spend too much time providing solutions without getting paid. You actually refer them to the solutions and they get the solutions there and you get paid for referring them to the solution. That's the key. And that's what I think a lot of people miss is they think they need to know too much before they get started, whether it be in sales or marketing. But we'll stick with marketing here. I just threw sales in because it's the same exact thing. People get too cute. They make it too complicated. They come on and try to sound too good, too much like an expert. And you don't need to. You just need to add enough value and be able to point them in the direction of the solution in a trustworthy way. This is so good. It's been like just the tweak that you made, and I mean you dropped a big old, I mean just a 2-ton platinum nugget on people, and if they caught that today and they really understood the simple tweak that you made and kind of how you've been building your business, it'd be worth the weight of that nugget to them, you know, 10 times over. So tell us before we bring this in for a landing, what have you learned about yourself throughout this journey?
Oh boy. I just think that I've always been a doer. I'm like kind of the Jill of all trades, I guess. If there's something that I want to do, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it, and I'm probably going to do it pretty darn well. Like I know I'm not going to fail. And I think that this was just one of those things that, you know, you're never too old or too, you know, far in your career to learn something new or to expand on it or to do that. And really the thing that is going to set you apart from anybody else is whether it's, you know, climbing a mountain or losing weight or starting a business or whatever you're doing, as long as you have the right mindset and, you know, your new challenge is like, I'm so glad you have a full day on this, but as long as you have the right mindset and going into whatever you're going into, like that is that's where you're going to find your success, because you can't be the strongest, the smartest, the prettiest, the whatever it is, and be successful if you don't have like the mind that you will, you know, whatever it is, manifesting or whatever you want to call it. But like, if you don't think that you can be successful in what you're going to do, or then it's not going to happen.
Yeah. Right. And that on the other side of that coin, you can be the most talented, but have no heart, have no mindset and fail, you know, whereas you can have more heart, more mindset than talent and be successful. And that is my story. I mean, that is so many people's story that I know. You know, I wasn't a good communicator when I started. I wasn't a good marketer when I started, but I was tenacious. I was, you know, I had a bear trap. It was ironclad mindset. I just was like, you know, I'm going to do this no matter what. Nobody's going to stop me. And I used everything to my advantage. You know, all these emotions, usually we have tons of emotions running through our body. We got to figure out how to like transfer. It's kind of like turning like, I don't know, I'm not a scientist. I'm a ninth grade dropout, but turning like, you know how like you turn, like they turn like water into energy or nuclear into energy, or like, you know what I mean? Like a power plant. A power plant takes, sure. You know what I mean? A power plant takes things like the like dams and things like that, take water and turn them into energy. It's like we have to be able to take our anxiety and our fear and turn it into like defiance. And like just rebellion, and just like, it doesn't always have to be like, I'm so happy to be here today and so motivated. It's like, nobody's ever like that. Usually you're like, I'm going to do this no matter what. I don't care what they say. Right. That's usually, sure. You know what I mean? That's usually where like your best energy, like nobody, like, most of the time, like the most tenacious people are not like, I am so happy and motivated and just, I'm going to crush this, guys. Okay. So just stand back. Right. And I'm so positive. Like, no, it's like, F you, F you, F you, F you, F you, you know, and at right. Like you also get tired of yourself. Like it's like, F me. You know, F it. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of being so damn anxious or so like, right? You get like sick. You got to get sick of yourself. You got to get sick of other people. You got to get sick of the BS. You got to get a little angry. Mm-hmm. You got to take those that anxiety and that fear and turn it into like gasoline and pour it all over your fire, because otherwise the, you know, our emotions are a powerful thing and they can paralyze us, mm-hmm. and make us think crazy shit about ourselves that's not true.
Yep.
And just keep us just doing nothing and sitting on the pity pot and then on the victim train, and just, you know, then we can surely find people to commiserate with. And then before you know it, it's like, damn, like you have like an honest moment like a couple of years later, and it's like, damn, I wasted that opportunity. Like I, and some never do, right? Some just live in kind of that self-pity victim mode forever. So yeah, I love that. I love your experience. I love how you put things into action. I love your journey of trial and error and launching and figuring it out through not complicating it, but simplifying.
Totally.
You know, and I just can't wait to continue to see where you go from here and continue to have you contribute if you'll be willing, and have you back on the show and just all the things, because you got such wonderful wisdom and experience, and good luck climbing the mountain. I know you're going to crush it.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I'll see you in a few weeks. I'll be in New Orleans with you.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited.
Oh my God. I'm so excited. Well, I'll certainly be talking to you then, and we'll see, you know, how we can serve our audience there, and mastermind and help each other. I'll certainly be, likely leaning on some of your experience. So can't wait. So, all right. Well, I'll talk to you later. I'll see you in a few weeks. Stay legendary, my friend. And thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you, Dave. Have a great day.
All right, Jen. Take care. All right, my friends, you can find Jen over on Instagram at the underscore out of office mom. At the underscore out of office mom. What a cool person and journey. Thank you all so much for the amazing feedback in comments and praise for Jen. It's true, Jennifer. Every simple step can be simplified more. Trisha, you're so welcome. Kathy, yes, didn't she bring the wisdom? Just an incredible experience and incredible success from what she learned, implemented, and then pivoted along the way. Truly enlightening. Colleen, good stuff. Obviously, amazing interview. I agree. Great guest. Inspiring. So inspiring. So educational. Thank you all. You guys are just the best. Like, really, I say this every day, but you guys are really... she dropped not gold, not silver, platinum, diamonds. I mean, there's diamonds on the floor for you to pick up this morning, my friends. When will she have her mastermind speech? Well, obviously in a week or two. Powerful, 100%. This is worth a re-listen, like, seriously. She just came in with so much value this morning. Kroll, you love the anger angle. Well, get on it, man. Get on it. Get angry at yourself and society and they, right? I mean, for God's sakes, if you gotta like make up somebody to be angry about, make them up. Most of us don't have to do that. Glad to hear it, Kroll. Such an inspiration. Hey, you too, Lane, just for being here, man. All right. Well, hey, listen, you guys have a fantastic Wednesday. We will see you back here tomorrow for another episode. Thank you again. Hey, good. Glad to hear, Sherry, that, Jen has, as my dad would say, lit a fire under your ass. He's the king of one-liners. Yes, Bonnie, can't wait to meet you. Look, yes, there are diamonds. Holly, good. Pick them up. All right, my friends, we'll see you back here tomorrow for another episode of Wake Up Legendary. Be great. Be well, be productive today. Do something, the most important, the most valuable income producing activity you can do for your business. Do that today, right? Not all the kind of silly, busy work. Do something that's going to move the needle forward, that you can track, that you can be proud of yourself, that's going to get you some results. And we will see you back here, my friends, tomorrow for another episode. Get out of here.